Good morning. I'm glad you can be with us this morning. I have a word to share with you. And I don't know about you, but during this COVID period, which seems like much more than a period, it seems like a length of time, I found that I am watching probably way too much television and spending probably way too much time on social media and just doing things. Even as I work, the TV is likely on in the background if I'm working from home. Just spending a lot of time at home, so spending a lot of time doing things I normally don't have the time to do. And I've been getting a little frustrated of late with some of the things I've been seeing on TV. And one commercial in particular really brought me to the place of this message this morning. And it's a commercial that has a very good intention. It's a commercial that is done by MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And if you've seen it, you'll know it as I describe it. But it's a commercial where a group of younger adults, couples for the most part, I believe is the way it looks to me, and they're taking a cooking class. But they're taking a cooking class on how to cook with marijuana. And the whole point of the commercial is they all put their keys in a bowl so that they don't drive impaired. And a commercial with anti-impaired driving, that message, is actually very good. Except, as I was watching it recently, or watching TV and I saw the commercial come on recently, I started to think about something, and I believe God brought this to my attention. And it's the fact that, yes, it's a commercial about not being impaired when you drive, but it's also a commercial that in some ways, in a way that we probably don't even notice, is normalizing the use of recreational drugs, which I thought is very difficult, a very difficult message that has been embedded in an anti-impaired driving commercial. And as I got there, I watched it, and I started to catch on to this subtle change in attitude, or this subtle thing that's trying to change my attitude, I wanted to get angry and frustrated. And as I thought about it and thought about other things I see on TV and commercials and in various things and things I see on social media, I realized that we live in a day where our minds are trying to be manipulated by everything around us, which made me want to get angry. And then God brought the scripture I'm going to base today's message on to me as I was sitting there kind of stewing and kind of getting angry as I was sitting in my recliner, which I love to do. And my belly is paying the price for me sitting in my recliner too much of late. But I want us to see our world around us and filter it through this scripture reference. And it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16 and 17. And it says this: "So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun." I want us to filter today the rest of this message through those two small verses. You see, because when we accepted Christ, when we became believers, when we believed the message of Christ's death on the cross for our sins and his resurrection from the dead, our lives changed. Our lives changed completely. We became new people. We became a new creation. Much like a caterpillar going into its cocoon and emerging a butterfly. Now, I don't know if you know much about that process. It's called metamorphosis, if to get technical with you. But a caterpillar doesn't cocoon itself and come out a caterpillar with wings. A caterpillar goes into the cocoon and comes out something completely and totally different. A caterpillar, you've all probably seen a caterpillar. Most people think they're really, really ugly. It's funny, caterpillars can't do anything to us. Caterpillars don't bite, caterpillars don't. But I see so many people that are scared of caterpillars. And I think it's just because they're ugly for the most part. There are some that are furry and kind of weird looking and kind of cute in their own way. But for the most part, they're just this ugly thing. But an inch long or so, and they crawl along on the ground or crawl in trees, and then they cocoon and they come out a beautiful butterfly, sometimes a moth. But they completely change. There's nothing left of the caterpillar once it's metamorphosized. Wow, that's a big word. But I want you to understand today, and I want us to understand today, that when we become a believer, when we accept Christ into our lives, like the caterpillar becoming a butterfly, we become something completely and totally brand new. Now, that's wonderful. The problem is we now have to walk that out in our lives. We now have to take that brand new thing we've become and change the way we do things in order to reflect the new person we become. And that's not easy. That's not an easy process. It is a process that will go on from the time we accept Christ to the time we go to be with Him in heaven. That's when we become perfect. If you want to get technical on all this, this is called progressive sanctification, to be all theological on you. But we are moving forward, progressing towards being perfected. Again, we are a new creation. God sees us as completed, but it still needs to be walked out in life. So I want you to remember that today. And I want you, as we look at that, to understand a few things. And I got three quick points today that I'm going to make. And the first one is this, that the world we live in is trying to influence the way we think. I'll say that again. The world we live in is trying to influence the way we think. You see, the world doesn't like the way we think as believers. The world doesn't like God's word for the most part and God's direction. Whether that be because they're not believers in God, whether that be because they're agnostic and God was there and God doesn't, or He is there and He doesn't really do anything. Whether they're people of the belief God is dead, whatever it may be, our world is trying to influence us away from living the life that God has given us as new creations. Now, there's many influences around us. I'm sure you can think of all kinds of them right now as you're sitting in your chair or wherever, or you're on your couch or wherever you're watching this. There's all kinds of influences. I mentioned a couple of them. Entertainment industry is an influencer. Whether we like it or not, it's an influencer in our world. The news media is another influencer. The social media is a big influencer in our world right now. Our education system is an influencer. Science is an influencer, or pseudoscience, because a lot of what we call science today isn't science at all. It's conjecture that we just want to say is science. These things all influence us. And there's many, many more. As I was speaking earlier about the advertisement, advertising is actually designed to influence us, to buy a product, to support a product, to support a whatever it might be. Advertising is actually designed to influence us. But all these things are influencing us, and not always for the good. In fact, oftentimes not for the good. Now, none of these things I'm talking about are evil in and of themselves. Let's take social media, for example. Social media in and of itself isn't evil. In fact, without social media, many of you wouldn't be watching me right now. We run this on Facebook Live. If without social media, without Facebook, you wouldn't be able to watch. If we broaden social media, our entire platform is based around social media and on social media. So in and of this themselves, these things are not evil, but they can be used for evil. They can be used to influence us in good ways or in bad ways. And oftentimes, we as believers, as Christians, get sucked in to the bad stuff, to the bad influences these things can bring in us. We fall into those traps. We begin to go back to the old life where we followed the world's influences. I'm not going to give you examples, but I'm sure you can think of examples of Christians fighting with Christians, whether it be about theology, whether it be about a belief on a certain topic, whether it just be about one person offending another, and, you know, that we fall back into those traps of the world and we allow those influences that are around us to influence us back to where we were pre-salvation. And it's even to the point where sometimes we want to deal with the things, with the things that are promoting evil in our old ways. I often, when I get frustrated with something I see, especially if it's on social media, I get my phone out and my thumbs start going and I start typing stuff in response. And I've learned a good lesson from myself personally is type it, read it again, and then hit delete. Because most of what I'm doing is not going to do anything good for the kingdom of God. I'm just using the world's practices to try to prove my point. Excuse me. And that's not a good way. It's not the proper way to deal with things. Getting mad at people and frustrated with people and the things they say is not the right way to deal with it. Because what we often forget is that we're really not fighting and arguing against people, but there are spiritual powers at work in the background. If you look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 12 says this, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." You see, when we get to that point and we see things that are wrong, we always have to remind ourselves to see the evil, the spiritual powers that are behind these things. If we go back to that original portion of scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we need to stop evaluating people from a human point of view. That's straight from the text. We need to evaluate people based on the spirits behind what they're saying, what they're doing, what their influence is being. You see, our enemy wants to destroy us by turning us back into our old selves. He wants us to think things and behave in ways that are contrary to God's word. But the good news is God has made us new. The good news is we have authority over those powers. The good news is God wants to change us and our way of thinking. You see, we need to allow God to change our thinking process. The only way we'll overcome this worldly way of dealing with things is to, first of all, understand what our world's trying to do, understand the powers behind people's intentions, the spiritual powers, the spiritual realm, and then we need to understand that God wants to change our thinking process. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 say this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." Again, he's not forcing us to do this. We are to do this in a response to what he did for us, in a response to him for what he did by sending Jesus and by Jesus' death on the cross to bring us into a proper place with God. So it's not a rule, it's a response. That's an aside. To continue, "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." Again, he's made us a new person at salvation. Now he's transforming us into that person as we walk with him by changing the way we think. "Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." You see, we can know what the world's trying to do. We can understand the spiritual powers behind it. But it's only when we allow God to change our thinking process that we'll be successful in walking out our new life. Now, how do we do this? It's great. Scripture says here, let God change your way of thinking. So how does that happen? Well, there's a number of things we can do. The first, of course, is we can pray. The best way to have God help us to do something is to ask God to help us to do something. So we need to do this prayerfully, because guess what? On your own, on my own, there is no way we can change our thought process. It takes God. It takes us sacrificing, asking God, and allowing him to do it. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. When we accept Christ, his Spirit comes to live in us. He doesn't just live in us for the sake of living in us. He lives in us to guide us, to lead us. So we got to learn to yield to that. We need to learn to hear that voice. When that little voice inside us speaks and says, there's a commercial on right now, and I kind of like this one, and I want to think it's an insurance commercial, but I'm not sure. I find most insurance commercials kind of funny. And there's Noah, and the ark is in the background, and he's doing his taxes. And he's about to check that he's self-employed, and all you hear is, coming from heaven. And it's God saying, no, you're employed by me. So he checks that he's not self-employed. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit's like that. He'll give us that check. He'll give us that little We need to learn to hear that and live by that. Again, as I said, when I get upset, I tend to type, read, and almost all the time delete. Because as I do that checking, most of the time the Holy Spirit speaks to me and goes, what are you going to accomplish by this? So I tend not to post a lot of things or responses because I don't have time to fight with people on social media. So yielding to the Holy Spirit, hearing his voice, reading the word. understanding the word, studying the word, applying God's word to our life will help us to live out the new life we've been given. Now, some of you do this all the time. Many of you have been Christians that are watching me for many years. Some of you, this is all fairly new to you. I've learned over the years that if I want to apply God's word, I need to know it. I need to understand it. I need to meditate on it. I need to keep it in my mind. And many of us will say, well, I don't even know how to do that. I don't know where to start with that. Meditating just means remembering God's word as we walk through our daily lives. Joshua 1:8 tells us, we're told to study the word and to meditate on it day and night. So keep it in our minds. Good place to start meditation on God's word is with very, very simple things. I have four references here that I try to meditate on daily. And two of them I've already actually mentioned in this message. That's where a lot of this is coming from. But I like to meditate. And if you've never done that, if you've never walked your day just thinking about God's word and reminding yourself of God's word, these are four great things to remember. First of all, is our main passage. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, I'm giving you my paraphrase. But I try to go through my day remembering I'm a new creation. I'm different. I'm not what I was before. Second one I always try to look at is, you know, from Matthew 22, verses 37 to 39. Love God and love the people around me. When I do that, life tends to go far more smoothly. Again, go back to our Ephesians scripture, in Ephesians chapter. The battle is spiritual. I need God's help. We need God's help. So I try to remember those things. And then I try to think about the armor of God. And if you want to go read Ephesians chapter 6 beyond verse 10, go all the way to verse 18. I try to remember those things, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, you know, all of those things to remind me of how to live. And then the final one I always use is, and I try to meditate on, what is my mission? And my mission, according to Scripture, is Matthew 28:19, to go and make disciples. So as I walk through my day, if I remember I'm a new creation, if I remember I'm not fighting against flesh and blood, if I remember to love people, and if I remember my mission, it will guide me through my day. There's others you can have. These are just some of the ones I deal with on a daily basis, or try to, and I'm not always perfect at it. But meditating on the word will change the way we think, which will then change our actions. I've said a lot today in a little time, but I want you to take it and chew on it a little bit. And in everything, remember that when we accept Christ, our lives are made new. And from there, God wants to transform us and change us every day, making us more like Jesus. Now, you may say to me this morning, Pastor Paul, that's all wonderful, but I don't even know Jesus. Well, knowing Jesus is very simple. It just takes accepting him, accepting who he is, the Son of God, accepting that he died on a cross to forgive you of your sins and me of my sins, that he rose again to show his power and his authority over death, and to desire to serve him. And these are all heart decisions. And if you've made that decision in your heart today, then all you need to do is just express that to God with your words. It doesn't have to be anything fancy, just a simple prayer. God, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I want to serve you. I want to know you. Help me to do that. And I'll just, you can just do that on your, as I'm speaking here in your own time and in your own way. But we want to help you with that as well. If you made that decision today, we'd ask you to do something because we want to walk this out with you. We want to help you through this. And that is to pick up your phone, text the word love to the church number, which is 416-267-1189. It'll ask you some other questions. It'll help us to know that you've made this decision and to be able to contact you and help you through walking this out in your life. But my final words to you today is this: live the brand new you. Don't live the old you. Live the brand new you every day of your life.